Good morning. It's Friday, November the 3rd, not the 13th, but kind of feels that way. Joining us this morning is Eureka City Manager, Mr. Sparks. You're dressed for tundra weather. What's this all about?
You know, it's just feels like winter starting out there.
Yeah. I could use another 2 weeks of what we had earlier this week.
Well, at least it's going to be, a crisp 50 tomorrow, but sunny, so.
50's cool. Okay, that was a bad pun. Our quote this morning, empires rise and fall. It's just the universe breathing. Wes Nisker. What are you going to talk about here this morning, Kemosabe?
Oh, you know, one of the things that you and I have talked about, boy, a number of times over the last several years, is CalPERS and the impact of pension rates on our ability to provide services. And
And there were some changes. I know the state was doing some changing around, so that'll be our topic when we come back.
Okay.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks. Greg, the PERS itself, as a quick overview summary, a lot of folks kind of hear the word getting bandied around because it's always in association with, we don't have enough money because.
Yeah.
What is this thing?
Well, it's the statewide public employee retirement system. State employees, city county employees, and it's the largest public employee pension system in the country, as you would expect with state the size of California. And it wasn't that, and currently it's funded because of, you know, the Great Recession and certainly other decisions that have been made by PERS historically. It's gone from being like super funded, over 100%. Back in the, I think about 1999, 2000, to where now it's around 70% funded. So in other words, they have 70 cents for each dollar that they owe from a retirement standpoint.
When there was an overage, what happened with it?
Well, what happened in many jurisdictions, apparently including Eureka, was that there wasn't like a employees didn't have to pay in for a period of time.
So the
like
matching
a 1 year, yeah, a matching
didn't
fund.
Happen.
So because it was super funded, or the state also made decisions about increasing benefits when it was super funded, when it looked like the money train, I guess, would go on forever, and not taking into account the cyclical nature of stock market and that type of thing.
So those monies weren't set aside, so when it went into a dip, then they would be tapped into and make it whole.
Right. CalPERS, and believe me, every state and everyone with a 401k saw the, you know, in 2008, a dip of, a drop of 30 to 40% of investment income practically overnight. And sure, that has come back to a degree, but at the same time, you've got this large public employee base of both retirees and those in the current system that, and there's less employees paying into the system per retiree than what there was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Much like similar problem we hear about Social Security over the years. So, you know, the state did pension reform in 2012. It's called PEPRA. And what PEPRA did is it basically created a reduced defined benefit plan. And let me just, because we just ran some sample numbers on that. So say prior to PEPRA, what's called a classic employee, say they have an annual salary of $50,000. They work 30 years. Their formula is 2.7%. That means that's per year. So 2.7% of that 50,000, and at 30 years, that's equal to 81% of their salary. So at retirement, they're pulling a retirement of $40,500.
And the $50,000 is determined based on that's last year, their first year, the average during their employment? So
let's just use that as their last year. It varies from cities to city, but it's either last year or their highest year. Sometimes there's an averaging. So that's a $40,500 retirement. Under PEPRA, with a formula of 2% at 62 versus 2.7% at age 55, same salary, same years of service results in retirement of $30,000, 60% of that instead of 81%. So, you know, that's $10,500 less in retirement on a $50,000 salary. And you take that over 20 years, 30 years. And you can see why, from a reform standpoint on people who've entered the system since 2012, it's in and of itself is more sustainable.
So it's not retirement pre-2012, it's employment?
Right. Yeah, if you started employment.
So it's going to take 25 more years to work itself through
the
system?
Well, for those new in the system, they're basically
before they hit retirement.
But those who were hired prior to 2012 under the classic system have the higher benefits. So kind of how that translates then, I brought my... brought numbers. A lot of times I come to these things, I never have any numbers with me. So I'm,
in real kind of rounded, rudimentary. Yeah. So it's at this point, the folks that came on board a little bit more recently are getting a different level of retirement associated with their employment. Okay. The thing that I hear is that it's that 70% versus 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's 25 million people or it's 25 people, if you're short, you're short. End of story.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens if you're short by, let's say, this 30%? Does that fall on the employer?
The employer.
The local jurisdiction?
Thus, you might say, the taxpayers, right? So so we ran four-year projections for city council. We did a work session with city council prior to the last city council meeting. So this is about 2.5 weeks ago. Because most of the council have been to sessions at California League of Cities. They understand on the big picture, but now to bring this down as to what it's doing to us locally. And we'll come back to that after our commercial break.
It's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. Greg, before the break, you were talking about the pension reform and this shackling. Is that a fair word?
It's In the sense that our increased pension costs are the biggest it's the biggest driver in our budget.
Above insurance.
Yeah, above.
Which was always the big one that was going crazy.
Health insurance, you know, property liability is a small part of, you know, compared to.
We'd like to think roads and cops and fire guys were in that mix too, but that seems to be the second tier.
And pension, of course, is a big. It's the big part of the personnel cost, and it's made it impossible for us to, you know, to give raises. It's made it hard for us to be.
Well, raises
competitive.
Are just wrapped in a different. Package.
You're right. In a sense, in order to maintain your the defined benefit plan, those numbers keep going up. So just an example. So next in the 2017-18 budget, which is what we're in now, our unfunded liability, that's that part to help make up that 70% part.
The gap?
Just within the police department is about $1,161,000. By 2021-22, our estimate is that number is going to be over 1.9 million. So,
and that's an annual figure. That's not a cumulative figure.
Yeah. So this is it'll go from 1.16 million this year, 1.346 million the following year, about 1.6 million the next year. So it just keeps, and that's just police. I mean,
What's the total nut there? Do you have a
you know,
total?
I don't have the total on there. It's but from all the non-public safety is going from about 2 million to 3.3 million over that same period of time. Humboldt Bay Fire from about 966,000 to almost 1.6 million over that 4-year period.
So you're somewhere in the neighborhood of about $7 million a year.
So
ish.
So right, it's so that's a and I know it's a come as a surprise to you, but our sales tax revenue and lodging tax revenue is not growing at that same rate. So that paints a pretty dismal picture to the city council that this is where our cost increases are. We don't have any, we have zero control over that.
And the offset really is either reduced services again.
Right.
Or increased sales tax but we're not getting more retail coming in.
Right.
Or more tourists, but that's a huge.
It takes time to build those kind of things.
Yeah.
So
what flexibility is there?
Here is our flexibility. We actually, and council will be approving this. I believe they'll be approving it. It's on the agenda for Tuesday night. Is to create a pension reserve with the savings that we came out of this last fiscal year with, which was higher than what we had projected. Going to the budget. So we actually have $2 million that we're putting into a pension reserve, and that $2 million will actually go a long ways towards smoothing out these increased costs. And since we're already funding, you know, like in same police, that $1,160,000, but it's that in taking that to $1.9 million over
growth,
4 years.
The gap. Yeah.
So that pension reserve that we're establishing we'll take care of that growth, at least for the next 3-4 years. Then the idea will be also come through this budget cycle, we can replenish that reserve. But it means that's money that we don't have to put towards
roads. Should
be
going towards things.
It's not money we can do, you know, increase police officer pay with to try to be more competitive to where we aren't losing people.
Well, let me throw this one out at you then, since we're kind of in the political window here for the next 4 or 5 days. It's been O. I don't know what it'll be this time. That's going to be a real tough sell, man. You know, when we say the regular budget is going to retirement, not to services, and now, unless you want to have less money going towards fire, cops, roads, you have to pass this either at this level or at an increased level. That's
right.
Pretty tough sledding.
Right. And certainly, with Measure O, that was then reauthorized as Measure Q. That'll come up in...
Is that 18 or 19?
In 2020.
Oh, is it a 5-year?
It's a 5-year. And when it was approved the last time, it was kind of well ahead just because of the timing on taking it to the even year election. So, but you know, that half cent sales tax of Measure Q generates $4.5 million. You lose that $4.5 million, then you're talking about drastic cuts in police and public works and fire and everywhere.
It doesn't sound like public works is getting a whole heck of a lot now.
Well, of course, public works is a large term for us because it includes water and sewer and things that, you know, aren't general fund supported, doesn't go into roads, but it's other obviously vital public infrastructure.
So you said that there was good news when you were talking to the troops.
Well,
the good news. Have we heard the good news yet?
Well, the good news is that we came out of last year $2 million to the better than what we thought we would be, but rather than say, gee, let's spend that money on some
roads,
on some good stuff,
yeah,
is we need to put it towards a pension reserve so that otherwise we'll be forced into layoffs and things like that that the city was in a few years ago.
KINS, News and Information Times, 842. We will return.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Greg, so what it for the community, for citizens of Eureka,
yeah,
who are continuing to pay, and I guess we're continuing to pay retirement plans of past and current employees,
mm-hmm,
why do we jump up and down? Why are we excited? Why is this good news for us that the retirement plans of others are okay, but at the same time, the potholes continue to expand throughout the city?
Well, certainly, as I try to find some good news, that when I talk about a lot of numbers going in the wrong direction, is by creating the pension reserve, we're able to maintain services. We won't be, you know, if we're doing layoffs, then we're reducing services. So our number one goal is to try to maintain the level of service to the community. When deal with things like the potholes and the streets in poor repair, you know, the SB 1, Senate Bill 1, which was the transportation bill last session, increased the gas tax, went into effect November 1st. Sure, a lot of people don't like paying more on gas tax. We already have high gas prices in California. But of those dollars that are generated, half goes to the state to go towards state highways, bridges, that type of thing. The other half comes back to cities and counties. So for City of Eureka, this is the first like new money we've had come in to you know, for pothole repair and road overlays in some time, because we've basically been seeing a decrease in those dollars for the last number of years because of gas tax hasn't kept up with inflation.
The Prius factor. Come on.
The Prius factor is, as I've...
Now, there's not going to be a shell game with this, is there? You get $2 million in, you're not going to pull $2 million out of public works.
No. There's a language built into the bill of maintaining local effort, is what it's called. So you can't just shift something and take that money and pull the shell game.
Kmart's closing. Yeah. I know it wasn't a highly productive Kmart, but it still's got to take some retail out of,
right,
Eureka. Are you seeing a shift towards some of the other large box, so retail stays here, or are you seeing, and it may be a little bit too early, are you seeing a shift to run up to the McKinleyville Kmart and basically lose those sales tax
it's
dollars?
It's still too early at this point. As we get quarterly sales tax, and we're always a quarter behind when we get those numbers. Certainly we've been in discussion with the owner of the Kmart building. It's not Kmart. They're still collecting lease revenue off that building, until next year. And they are actively marketing it for other potential retail use. But it's hard to find, you know, something
wants
to go
into. They had one of those up in Crescent City. It's now called Home Depot.
Yeah, you know, to put something 55,000 square feet. So that remains to be seen what'll happen.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
See everybody on Monday.